Let's now read the Word of God from Luke chapter 1 at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is God's wonderful and infallible word. Amen. Would you turn with me again, please, to Luke chapter 1 and to the passage beginning at verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Last week, David began a short series of sermons on the angels of Christmas and talked there of how the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, the priest, with the news that his wife Elizabeth was to have a son in her old age, a son we know of as John the Baptist. And today we're continuing to look at the angels of Christmas and looking at this most famous appearing of the angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel appearing to the Virgin Mary. Angels and Christmas go together, don't they? Angels on so many Christmas cards. Children in nativity plays at school, although my children never seemed to be counted worthy to be angels. They were given lesser parts. But in the Bible, there's not a wing or a feather or a halo in the description. We don't know what these angels look like. On a number of occasions, people thought they were talking to ordinary men before they realized that there was something different about these people or this person, this being that was speaking to them. But though there are no feathers and no bright beauty of appearance much of the time, there is something much more wonderful in the ministry of angels. So here we have this angel Gabriel, one of only two angels to be named in the Bible. And here he comes again to meet with Mary. Mary is pledged to be married. She's engaged to Joseph. That means, and you need to bear this in mind throughout the Christmas story, that as an engaged person, she was regarded as totally committed to Joseph. And although they were not yet married, if she became pregnant by somebody else, that was a clear case of adultery, for which, under the Old Testament law, the penalty could be death. Here is Mary, and the angel Gabriel comes to her with the news that she is going to have a child. And that child is to be special. Now, I want to look at this passage under two simple headings today. The first one is what Gabriel reveals to us. And the second heading is what Gabriel wants from us. Let's look at this famous story, this so familiar story, through the ministry of the angel Gabriel. First of all, then, what Gabriel reveals to us. For you see, angels are messengers. In Greek, the word angel and the word messenger are the same, angelos. And when we meet an angel in the Bible, when we hear that there's an angel present, the question we should be asking is, what's the message? Gabriel the messenger came. So what is it that Gabriel is telling us? What is it that Gabriel reveals to us? It must be important to have such a messenger. Just a week or so ago, maybe some of you had the experience, perhaps you were watching something on the television, a documentary, a drama, and suddenly across the screen there flashes up a message, a news flash. And before you ever read it, you think, goodness, what's happened? This must be really important for them to put this on the screen. Yeah, there's the news channels that are always giving news, but this is something so important that it breaks in on the normal programs. Last week or so, it was the death of Nelson Mandela. Something important, something that's shaken the whole world. Something that has drawn the leaders of the world and the news people of the world to South Africa over this past week. Well, what was it that caused this break-in on the normal order of life? An angel comes and speaks to a young girl. What is it? And there are a number of things that Gabriel's presence says to us. For one thing, the message of this angel coming is heaven is closer than you think. Heaven is closer than you think. The angel went to her and said, and then in our Bibles we have a rather literal wooden translation of the original. Greetings, you who are highly favored. Martin Luther, when he came to translate the Bible in German, wrote about this passage and said, actually, that was the way that a Greek-speaking person said hello. So he said, literally, what the angel, in our language, if the angel was speaking English, the angel would have said, Gabriel would have said, hello, Mary. The Lord is with you. God be with you. The Lord is with you. It wasn't some special salutation or recognition of something really special about Mary. It was a greeting from another world. It was a greeting from a heavenly being. An angel came and said hello. And the very first thing we learned from that is that heaven is closer than you think. We're like people watching television programs. We're absorbed in the thing we're watching, and we can forget that there's a world beyond television until that news flash comes on the screen. And we are so absorbed in our earthly existence. We're so wrapped up in all the wonderful things that we learn and read about and study, the techniques and the specialities that we use in our jobs, whether that's in the law or education or business or marketing or technology or science. We forget. So absorbed are we in these earthbound things that there is another realm, that God exists, that God is not far from any of us, as Paul says to the Athenians, that God is here and he is not silent. He is an active God. He is a living God. His realm of heaven is all around us. Sometimes heaven can break through when we read the Bible in an awesome way. Think of Jacob at Bethel, where he lies down in a deserted place, puts his head on a rock to sleep, and suddenly he sees in a vision the heavens opened and a ladder and the angels ascending and descending. Sometimes God breaks through and heaven breaks through in mighty miracles. But God, through his angels, isn't always awesome. Sometimes it's quiet, like this Gabriel coming to speak with Mary. It's always, though, awesome. Another similar occasion that you may or may not remember in your Bible stories occurred when God announced to a man and woman in Israel that the wife was going to have a son, and he was going to be Samson. And the father, Manoah, at a second interview with the angel, said, "What is your name?" And the angel, who knows, it may have been Gabriel, but the angel replied to Manoah, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." That's probably why, one of the reasons, you know, why people in our world would much prefer that heaven was a long way away and that God's realm didn't even exist at all, because it's beyond our understanding. It humbles us. It makes us realize how small we are when we meet with the heavenly realm. So the angel, first of all, tells us, shows us that heaven is near, that God is at work, that this world is in God's hands, and that God impacts our world. A generation ago, there was an evangelical teacher called Francis Schaeffer. Some of you may have known of him. But famously, Francis Schaeffer, who used to argue with philosophers and atheists and agnostics in universities to argue for the reality of God and the truth of the Bible. Whenever Francis Schaeffer was asked to speak, the first thing he would do would be to talk about angels. And somebody said to him, why do you begin by talking about angels? And he said, "I want people to understand from the very beginning that I'm bringing a message from God that is outside their normal realm of understanding. Because if they don't face up to the reality of that other realm, then they're never going to take notice of what I say." God's messenger reveals to us then, firstly, that heaven is not so far away as we think. Then, secondly, the angel's coming reveals this. God is here to save you. Of course, the angel coming, the angel displays the presence of God. We were singing there about God surrounded by mighty armies, mighty spiritual armies. The angels are God's servants. They worship in his presence. They are like those figures you see when you see the queen in court. She's surrounded by people in elaborate uniforms. And their job as servants is to obey the queen, but their glorious uniforms show that they are serving a wonderful queen, someone who has majesty and authority and wealth and power. Their uniforms, you look at them, you say, wow, the queen must be near. The queen must be great. And when we see that angels have come into this world, when Gabriel appears to Mary, Gabriel is saying, God is not far away. God is here. If an angel has come, the Lord is here. If an angel is seen, the Lord is here. When Jacob saw his vision of the angels going down and going up on the ladder, then he saw that at the top of the ladder, the Lord himself was present. And the Lord spoke to Jacob. But it's not just that God is present, not just that God is near. That's not what Gabriel has come to announce. Gabriel has come to announce that God is about to do the great work of salvation that he's been promising right throughout history. God is coming to save the world through his Son. For Gabriel announces the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, the King, the one promised to David long ago. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. When God's people of Israel were struggling with their own sins and with their many enemies, back in the days of the judges and so on, God said he would give them a king. And eventually he gave them David as his chosen king. And while David was alive, God made a wonderful promise. You can read of it in 2 Samuel chapter 7. That from David's line there would come a king who would rule forever. There would come the Messiah, the anointed king. He would rule over his people. He would deal with their sins, and he would rule the world for his people. That was a great promise. For centuries, it didn't look as if it was going to be fulfilled. Interestingly, it was in the time of Daniel. We were talking about him earlier. It was in the time of Daniel that things looked at their blackest. Jerusalem had been captured and demolished by the Babylonians. God's people, Israel, had been scattered among the nations. There was only a small number of them left. It looked as if there was going to be no kingdom, let alone a mighty son of David to rule over it. And in Daniel chapter 9, we read how an angel, the angel Gabriel, the only other place in the Bible where Gabriel is mentioned by name. Gabriel came to Daniel and said, yes, Daniel, things have been bad. And actually, things are going to get worse. There are going to be a lot more troubles. But the time has been fixed and the anointed one, the Messiah, will come. It was Gabriel who assured Daniel and the suffering people that God would save them, that God would keep his promise. And now that same Gabriel comes to Mary and says, it's going to happen now. And Gabriel reveals more to Mary than Gabriel revealed to Daniel. Not only is a great king coming, but that king is going to be the Son of God. The Messiah is a divine Messiah. He will be truly God as well as truly man. He will be the offspring of the Virgin's womb. And he will also be the Son of the living God. Gabriel reveals, Gabriel shows us that Jesus is coming. The very name Jesus that Gabriel mentions here means Jehovah will save, or Jehovah saves, God saves. When the angel spoke to Joseph a little later, said, "You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And in that little statement to Joseph, there's the whole world of theology. Call him Jehovah saves, for he will save his people. He doesn't say, call him Jehovah saves, because through him Jehovah will save. He says, call him Jehovah saves, for he will save. The implication, he is Jehovah. He is God, and he will save his people. There are various passages in the Old Testament that make sense when we read them in the light of Jesus. One of the greatest, if you're reading through our monthly reading of the Bible, if you're reading through Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34 is a great passage. God speaks of the kings of Israel, the physical descendants of David. They were the shepherds. That's what kings were often called in those days. They were the shepherds of Israel, but they didn't look after the flock. They feasted themselves on the flock instead of caring for the flock. And in Ezekiel 34:11, we read this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Because these bad shepherds have not done their job, I myself will search for my sheep and will look after them. I will look after my sheep. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them. I will tend them. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I myself will do it. And that's what the angel is telling Mary. This amazing message that God will come down and become man and will save his people from their sins. God is coming to seek and to save the lost sheep. What Gabriel shows us is that the child born to Mary is truly God, the one to deal with, the one who, from our perspective, has dealt with sin, who has dealt with everything that is wrong and that causes wrong in the world, who is the answer to the problem of life, the mystery of suffering, and the reality of death. God himself has come to save us. That's the message that Gabriel brought to Mary. That's what Gabriel reveals to us. And along with that message, there's one last thing I want to mention very quickly in what Gabriel shows us. And that is that Gabriel shows us that our God will strengthen and help us in all our ways. Why do I say that? Well, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. The angel didn't ignore that. Gabriel is alert to that. And Gabriel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. The messenger of our God recognizes our fears and deals with them." And he goes on to deal with her fears with a gentle word. And then Mary is just overwhelmed by all this. Verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin, I can't understand what you're talking about." And the angel doesn't tell her to be quiet. "Don't you dare question me." The angel graciously and gently enlightens her, gives her a clear, though awesome, explanation. God, the Holy Spirit, will overshadow you. That's the picture used of God's glory coming down, overshadowing the tabernacle. God himself will come down in a way that you and I will never understand. But God can do it. And then there's a lovely touch too. besides or even, verse 36, Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. What a lovely, gentle touch. God, through his angel, says to Mary, look, this is awesome, this is frightening. I understand that, but don't be afraid. There is a power at work that can do this. And look, your cousin Elizabeth, somebody you know, I'm doing something amazing in her life at this time too. So Mary suddenly is not alone. She's got somebody she can share with, somebody she can who will understand. And so we read how she went to visit Elizabeth. Our God provides consolation, instruction, and the comfort of fellowship for his struggling people. The angels assure us that God will comfort and keep us through it all. Work out your salvation, says Paul, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do. Notice the angel doesn't say to Mary, hey Mary, don't be afraid, you're a fantastic woman. There's never been anybody like you. Of course you can do it. The angel says to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Though you are just a slip of a girl, God can use you. Be comforted. And then lastly, what Gabriel shows to us, we've seen, what is it that Gabriel wants from us? What he's revealed to us is that heaven is closer than we think. What is revealed to us is that God is here to save us in Jesus. What he's revealed to us is that God is a gentle and caring, a comforting God in Jesus. So, what does Gabriel want from us? When you read the passage, you might say, well, how can we answer that question? Gabriel doesn't say what he wants from us. Well, he doesn't, because he doesn't need to. Look at verse 38. Gabriel has said his piece to Mary, answered her questions, and Mary answers, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Gabriel didn't need to give her any instruction because she'd already given the right response. She'd already given the response that he was looking for. What was Gabriel wanting from Mary? He wanted her to say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. What does Gabriel want from you and me as the angels watch over our service today? He wants you and me to do exactly what Mary did. Mary believed the words that Gabriel had said to her. Amazing though that may seem to us. May it be to me as you have said. I believe what you've said, says Mary. I believe your message. May it be so. And God wants you and me to believe his message. Not just this message of the birth of Jesus, but the whole gospel, the whole message that in Jesus and in him alone is the forgiveness of our sins. That you and I need a Savior, and that Jesus is the only Savior. But if we believe in him, he will be my Savior and your Savior. And then along with believing God's word, Mary submits to God. Look at the words of submission that are here. I am the Lord's servant, Mary says. If God wants to do this with me, then that's good for me. I want to serve my Lord. May it be to me as you have said. One of the things that Jesus said, which amounts to the same thing, when he spoke to people like blind Bartimaeus, he would say, come, follow me. A follower is someone who goes where the master leads, who does what the master says, who lives life with the master. What does God want from you and me? By the message that he sends, by his angels and by his church and by his ministers, he wants us to believe Jesus, to follow Jesus, to trust Jesus. We're not meant to worship angels. Nowhere in the Bible do angels accept worship. Angels are kind of like a supernatural sat-nav that points us where God is taking us. Angels show us the way. Jesus is far greater than all the angels. They point to him. Don't worship the angels any more than you should worship the church. You won't get to heaven because you think the Free Church of Scotland is great. You won't get to heaven because you think your church is great. You'll only get to heaven because you've seen that Jesus is a great Saviour. And that's just what you need to deal with your sins. So, believe the message of the gospel. Follow Jesus. Say to Jesus today, I am your servant. Do with me whatever you want. Lead me wherever you would take me. Use me in whatever way you would have me. I'm willing to do that because I believe I have no other Savior, and I believe there's no one like you. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for that wonderful message of Gabriel. Thank you for all your angels and their faithfulness in doing your will. Thank you that Gabriel's message has come to us in your written word down the centuries, and that most of us, at any rate, have known it so well for so many years. We pray today that if we've never done it before, we may respond to all that Gabriel revealed. And in believing Jesus, in surrendering our lives to him, may he give us that new birth. May he give us a new life, a new joy, a new hope that will, in his kingdom, last forever. Oh, Father, work in us, we pray. Stir us up. Give us no rest until we believe and obey the words of the angels. In Jesus' name, amen.